And joining us from the Trial Files to review the weekend's action is Matt Welsh. How are things, Matt?
Very well, Nadia. Thoroughly enjoyable Warrnambool week last week. Some great punting activity. And I think we had a pretty good meeting at Flemington on Saturday. The track raced very well and a couple of nice winners. But before we get stuck into that, I thought we might take a look through the features in your backyard at Morfettville on Saturday, an area you know very well. And obviously we had the Group 1 action over there, Nadia. And just your thoughts on the track on Saturday and how it played?
There was no doubt that it was of benefit to be off fence. With the rain that they had through the week, you often find with Morfettville that it can sort of chop out a bit, and that's what we saw yesterday. So I think you've got to add a bit on for any horse that was probably, you know, 2-3 off in that inside section, because it was definitely far better ground out wider on the track.
And just on the meeting itself, the Group 1 Oaks and the Sangster Stakes, what were your thoughts on the strength of those two races?
Well, you look at a race like the Oaks, and it's always been a carnival where for three-year-olds it's been looking at those up-and-coming three-year-olds. Going into it, the strength was strong. Of course, there was the big boom around Chris Waller's horse in Savical, who didn't have much luck at all throughout, three deep early, and then Oliver had to press forward. Just getting those sectional times through from the race, look, they didn't go that hard through the early section. They wanted to come out looking, I think, the first 200 metres, but then it really slowed up, and that really developed the race into a clear sprint home, where I've got them going probably about eight lengths above standard. So it really did develop into a sprint home, and probably the best profiled horse for that was Suppressor, who did a similar type of thing at its run prior, just off of a total different race shape. But she looks like she's a horse who clearly is going places, and for her to do what she has within such a short space of time through the one prep, she's definitely up to winning, you know, better races throughout her career. And then we had the running of the Robert Sangster. This was the Group 1 weight for age race for the fillies and mares. We had the scratching of Vedora in the morning, which of course sent shockwaves through the local industry in particular. But this was an impressive win by Shoals, come from a long way back and showed a brilliant turn of foot. And those that sort of stood up over the concluding stages, you had the likes of Secret Agenda, who of course won the race last year. The local horse Michael Lill boxed on solidly for third, and there were a few hard luck stories in the race, and no more significant than the runner Super Cash. If you happen to go back and see the replay, she had no luck at all over the concluding stages. And you'd have to say, Matt, you know, definitely a quality Group 1 when you've got horses like Catchy and alike lining up in races, who have been major forces in group races over the border. So there were two wonderful renewals of both of those races this year, and it just paves the way for a great Derby day on Saturday, heading into the Goodwood the following Saturday.
Just on that, Oaks, Harry Coffey's first Group 1, just a terrific story. Perfect ride, he got it leaders back. And I think, as you said there, that inside section certainly wasn't the place to be. And he navigated around the leader as opposed to trying to go up the fence, got off the fence into that three wide line. Fantastic ride. What did you make of the runs of She's a Dashing, Miss Admiration, who hit the line strongly from the back, and also Aloysia, who was heavily fancied in betting late, got a long way back as well and was hitting the line strongly out wide. There was only 1.6 lengths between those first six over the line.
Yeah, and you always sort of worry about that when they do have that compact margin over the concluding stages. Those horses you mentioned, like She's a Dashing and Miss Admiration, because they've come home in such a strong late sectional, and we're talking about just the lead field as an entirety, those horses have ran huge late numbers. Aloysia wasn't beaten far. She probably never looked a winning chance in the race, but she still ran well. Look, there were hard luck stories. If you even go back and look at the replay, Chris Waller's other horse in Velocita was four back the inside, four, five back, and it's still trying to get out, and it was only beaten 5.6. And if you probably analyse the way that the race was, it probably would have beaten the stablemate home if it had got clear running. So it was a race where I think you've really got to go back and look at that replay, because there were some hard luck stories in it too.
Couple of others I noticed in the Sangster Stakes. Key Lister, who jumped favourite off the inside alley, seemed to have no luck in the straight. And one who finished near enough last, Miss Gunpowder, I don't think she ever got clear at all over the concluding stages as well.
No, there were a lot of hard luck stories. You know, Miss Gunpowder never got clear. We touched on Super Cash a short time ago, who was still full of running as they approached the line and was running over the top of them, and Key Lister as well. So there were a lot of hard luck stories. And you often find it in these races, you know, they're very competitive races where when you've only got a spread of eight lengths first to last in this quality of field, and the majority of the field is probably four and a half lengths away from the winner, there isn't a heck of a lot of room to move and try and find those runs. And unfortunately, there were some hard luck stories in the race. But, you know, Scholes had the luck when the fact of where it was drawn to have room and was able to come down right down the outside part of the track where, you know, it was able to keep out of trouble.
And are any of the fillies going to go round in the Derby next week? Press is in the markets.
It is in the market. There hasn't been, obviously, a decision made in that. I know that they are looking at maybe the horse who finished fourth in the Sangster lining up in the Goodwood in True Excelsior. So there will be a few horses that'll come through that Sangster, and more than likely it's a perfect lead in where you are 2 weeks into the feature Group 1 sprint. But it'll be interesting to see whether they do back up, of course, because then the following week we've got the old Australasian or South Australian Oaks, as it used to be called back then, which is now a Group 2 race, I think it is, which is the SA Classic over the 2500. So you often find that those staying fillies to tend to go to that race the week after.
One of the big talking points on Saturday, I think one of the most talked about horses in Victorian racing, particularly over the last 2 weeks, has been Nature Strip. He was a drifting favourite in the Euclid Stakes, $2.20 out to $2.50. He ultimately finished fourth. What I noticed here is they've actually run a quicker time for the 1200 than the Sangster Stakes. The race eventually won by I'll Have a Bit at 150-1. She hadn't won since this day last year when she was able to beat Booker in the two-year-old race. What did you make of the Euclid Stakes? How was it run, and what did you think of the favourite, particularly Nature Strip?
Look, it comes as a very high rating race and definitely one of the biggest bonus races of the day due to those times. They went out pretty quickly, not as quick as what they did through the first part of the Sangster, but where the two races differed was over the concluding stages, where these three-year-olds, gee, they motored home. In particular, this winner. This winner would have gone nearly 10 lengths above average standard over the concluding stages from where she settled in the run. So it was an enormous performance. And when you go back and look at the replay, you know, Nature Strip was still there to the final 100. Obviously, due to the work that was used through the early part, it's going to be pretty tough when you're running those type of late sectionals to be able to hang on. Got out to 250. Pretty much in betting. Viridine was another who was prominent in the run. A horse like Fancy Rumble pulled up with an issue after the race, having had thumps and a bit of a colic attack as well. So there were some hard luck stories. But if you have a look at even a horse who always sneaks under the radar locally, a horse called Port Vale was only beaten 2.3 lengths. Okay, never looked a winning chance, but this is an underrated horse. SP'd around the $201 mark, a very similar price to what the eventual winner was. But there's obviously a pretty good race left in her as well. But how do you take anything away from the winner, Matt, from where it come from? Like, it's not like they ran deteriorating late sectionals. You know, they've sustained very strong numbers over the concluding stages, and she's come from near last.
Yeah, she was excellent, and as I said, hadn't won since this day last year, went around 150-1. It probably would have been hard to price her much shorter based on what she'd done recently. Viridine as well, your thoughts there? Covered a bit of ground throughout the run?
I think what happened in this race too, the way that it was run and the fact they did go out hard on the turn, a lot of these horses looked to be clearly off the bit, and Nature Strip had them rolling. There was no doubt about that. And Viridine was one of those horses that tended just to drop the bit a little bit when the pressure went on, but did cover a fair bit of ground. Look, you know, you can make a case that, okay, that's costed a little bit of ground, but, you know, you can't take anything away from the winner because it's clearly come from behind a lot of those horses and has got under everybody's garden, has run to clearly a career peak.
And just on the Mackay Stakes, I think there's certainly a horse to follow out of this race. 1,100 metres, won by Sprightly Lass, who sat three deep on speed. Beat One More Daisy and Santa Ana Lane, who was flashing late. What did you make of this race, the time, and also any horses to follow out of it?
Well, they flew early. That was the key to the race, is they've gone about, you know, above 7 lengths above par through the first section, so that the late numbers weren't outstanding. They were pretty much only at average standards. You know, there were some pretty good runs in the race, so you can't take anything away from Sprightly Lass, but obviously if it is heading to a Goodwood, that's another step up, and was able to sort of use that tactical advantage it has to be able to capitalise. One More Daisy was a really good run, but got into the right part of the track, and Santa Ana Lane really stormed home over the concluding stages. So there wasn't much between a few of these over the line as well, and most of these will try and test their luck to see if they can get a run in the big one in a fortnight.
And just summarising the meeting, any key horses to follow going forward as we have the next 2 days of the carnival over the next two Saturdays?
Well, look, it is going to be a really good carnival to try and get your teeth into and look at horses going forward, and be interesting to see where, you know, some of these horses do end up lining up. Look, as far as horses to follow, you know, I really want to see the final field for the Goodwood before we make a call on that. But, you know, obviously those the fillies that went around and the fillies and mares in that weight for age Sangster have to be considered. It's hard to take anything away from the winner in Shoals. It was an outstanding performance. And I think a horse who sort of finished about two lengths away in the last in the Queen of the South is going to line up in a fortnight and looks to be right on track, and it'll go around at a huge price. A horse called Have Another Glass, who didn't have the best of luck through the early part of the straight and saw daylight over the final 150 and found the line on the worst part of the track. So I do think at longer odds she might be a mare to follow.
Great days racing over there, and as you mentioned, the carnival just swinging into action. I think we'll move on to Flemington now on Saturday, and as I commented earlier, Nadia, I think one of the key features in the times here is they've run fast time across the day. The track was given out as a good four. I think they've run times closer to a good three, and I think we can treat it as a good three. Otherwise, we're going to have really overrate a lot of these performances on Saturday.
Oh, it's a very good point that you do make, isn't it, in regards to Flemington in particular. A lot of those lead speeds, they look to be pretty hot.
Yeah, they certainly were. There was seven of the nine races they've gone well above average. The first on the card was a two-year-old race. We had a number of debutantes here. Just going through the betting, Graceful Storm, who'd won two from two, she was 5.50 into 4.80. The best-backed runner was Aristia. She was 7.50 into 6 prior to race day, and then $6 into $4.60 on the day. She was very firm late in betting. Yulong Mercury for Hayes Davidic was a big drifter, $5 out to $8.50. The eventual winner, Crack the Code, who was on debut for the price stable, $8 into 6 late. So from this two-year-old race, they haven't run great time overall. It was a moderate lead speed. I thought Crack the Code did a good job to win, ran the fifth best last 400 and 200 of the day, which shows just how slowly they went early. Aristia was snagged back after jumping well. I think had they rolled forward, she probably wins the race. Her last 400 and 200 was exceptional. I think she's a filly who's going to appreciate getting up in trip. She looked like she was looking for the 1,200 metres at Bendigo, and I think that was certainly the case. Graceful Storm was held up okay when clear. I think she's heading over to Adelaide, Nadia, for a race in a couple of weeks' time, so she'll no doubt be competitive over there. And Yulong Mercury pulled quite hard, sort of was outside the leader, pulled quite hard early, probably needed to be let run. I think with a bit of that experience under its belt, it'll be improved next time. That was a good run from her. So, I think that the horse to follow is clearly Aristia. If it gets up to 1,200 metres next start, I think it'll be very hard to beat.
Okay, so that's a look at race one. We go to the second. This was the 2,800 metre staying contest, and there wasn't much between three of these in the market. The eventual winner, Sherlock Holmes, and the two that finished last and second last in Aloft and Cinder Win.
Yes, well, Aloft was $3 out to $4.60, and I think it would have just kept drifting if they hadn't opened the barriers. Doucan, down from Sydney, off the Sydney Cup, 5.50 out to 7. Cinder Win was well backed, $5 into 4.80. And Multitude, $16 into 12. Charlevoix was probably the best backed runner, was, I think, around $20 when markets open, jumped $7 ultimately. So probably the best backed runner, Charlevoix.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit about this race and what happened to, first of all, the first, the equal favourites who ran last and second last.
Yeah, well, Sin to Win dumped the jockey after 100 metres. Corey Parrish got a bit awkward there and fell off. So that was the first part of the race. And what's happened here, they've gone extremely quickly. Multitude and Divine Sanction took up the running, but Divine Sanction then took control of the race, and no sooner had he done that the riderless horse came up and absolutely annoyed him. So they've gone very, very quickly. That riderless horse, as I said, played a big impact. They ran 2:53.49 seconds, which was only a second outside the track record. So that's flying for this grade of horse. Really good win by Sherlock Holmes with the blinkers back on. He'd been quite fired up in previous outings, settled well. I think this run and win could be the making of the horse. He's the one to follow going forward. He'll no doubt step up to the 3,200 metre Andrew Ramsden in a couple of weeks' time. I find it hard to see, even with the weight turnaround, the way that this horse improved with the blinkers going back on. I just find it hard to see how Charlevoix particularly can turn the tables. Benzini did a bit of work coming around the home. Ben had to take off early, did well to battle on and run as well as it did. But yeah, I think it's all about the winner. The interesting runner, as you mentioned, is Aloft, because there was nothing found to be wrong with the horse. He's was gone before the home bend. He was a big drifter in the market. This horse seems to be either he's on or he's not, because, yeah, it was just another terrible run. He was pulled up, I think, in the straight, failed to finish.
Well, there you have it. We go to the third. This was a 2,000-metre fillies and mares race, and this was another fairly open market where the favourite, Lipstick Lover, ended up being the eventual winner.
Yeah, best-backed runner here was Cedar Grand, $10 into $5.50. Alma Leader, the likely leader, was a big drifter, $3.90 out to $6. Adelaide Horse, Burt, Whistle, $18 into $12. And as you mentioned, Lipstick Lover was quite well-backed leading up to race day. Late in betting was $3.80 out to $4.20, so just a little ease late.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the winner here, Lipstick Lover. Comes through some pretty good runs in Adelaide and went around at $4 and is sort of continuing a great vein of form this time in.
Yeah, she certainly is. She never looked like losing. Beautiful ride by Jai McNeil. Just got her into the one-by-one position. The leaders didn't go that hard. We had Alma Leader led from Token of Love. This was one of the more moderately run races of the day. And Lipstick Lover bolted up to them in the turn, and she was simply too good. I think she's got this lot covered. Not too much to mention from those in behind, but I think Lipstick Lover can continue winning now she's in such a rich vein of form.
Was there anything else you noted out of the race?
Not hugely. Smart As You Think had every chance. Leaders back, ran okay to get into a placing. Burt Whistle was okay from the back, 27th best last 800 and 600 of the day. So considering the soft tempo, look, Burt Whistle's done a reasonable job coming from the back, but I can't see any of these turning the tables on Lipstick Lover going forward.
Okay, the fourth race, three-year-old 1,700 metre race, another race with quite a few chances, and Connery ended up starting favourite.
Yeah, Connery was pretty well backed, 4.20 into 3.80, and they had much better prices during the week. The big drifter was another Waterhouse-trained leader here, Princess Mia, $6.50 out to 12, and the eventual winner, Barbecue, $7 out to 8, but it was a race of pretty low betting interest across the board, Nadia.
Okay, so not much action. What about the winner in Barbecue, who come from a mid draw throughout? What did you make of the win?
Yeah, one of the first things I note here is this bloke paraded a lot better than he had at Caulfield his start prior, so that was an important fact. He'd probably been a touch disappointing, gone around in the market and not really fired a shot this campaign. But again, this was another lovely ride by Jordan Childs, got this horse into the 1-1. Princess Mia and Truly Discreet set a pretty genuine tempo. Truly Discreet did a really good job to hang on and run third. This filly is going very well. I do think she probably needs to step back in trip slightly, whether it be to a sort of a 1,500 or 1,600 metre trip. I don't think she quite runs out the 1,700 metres, but her effort up on speed was good. Barbecue put them away pretty quickly late, had a lovely run in transit. Now that he's found a bit of form, and clearly his condition in terms of parade is up to the mark, he can probably keep winning. How hard they've gone early is summarised by the fact that Barbecue ran the 70th best last 800 of the day. So they have gone quickly up in front. Mizuko, who was huge odds here for Matty Ellerton and Simon Zara, was bolting on the home turn at the back of the field. Charged late, did a good job. No doubt has a win in store for it, another win in store for it in the coming weeks. But yeah, Barbecue's back on track, I think, can win again going forward.
We have a look at race number five. This was an open down the straight 1,000. And gee, they didn't loaf here. They went along at a pretty good clip. We'll get to that in a moment. The winner, Malibu Style, ended up starting a dominant favourite.
Yeah, he was very well backed all day, particularly late. He was very solid on the exchanges, and with TAB, $3 into $2.50. And as I mentioned, I think if the gates hadn't opened for another couple of minutes, he'd probably start shorter. There was a huge weight of money for him. Lady Esprit was well tried, $9.50 into $6.50. While Gun Case, who was first up, trained out at Warrnambool, so we hadn't seen a trial, it was a fair sign that he would benefit from the run. He was $6 out to $9.
Let's talk a little bit about the speed of the race. They did go hard.
Yeah, they did. Bullput just took off. He might have a career in the 400 or 600 metre racing over in America. He is a very, very fast horse. He went 10.10 seconds from the 800 to the 600. His lead speed of 23.14 seconds for the first 400 was absolutely flying. So that was an exceptional sort of turn of foot or turn of speed that he showed early in the race. Fantastic job done here by Freddie Kersley on Malibu Style, just to not chase that leader. He could have got sucked into probably racing a little bit closer to that leader, but the reality was the leader was just going too hard. Malibu Style settled four or five lengths off them. You could see that they were always going to catch Bullpit, who went, just to give you his sectional breakdown, he went 10-10 from the 800 to the 600, 10-40 from the 600 to the 400, and that's when he started to gas out. He went 11-40, 400 to 200, and then he was completely out of tickets, went 12.14 for the last 200. Good win by Malibu Style. This horse is really back in form now. He'd run well behind Sprightly Lass and Bonds away the start prior at Caulfield. Proud Wolf just got too far back early. I thought it was an excellent return from him. He'd trialled well going into the race. And if he can strike a soft track next start, he'll be very hard to beat. And Lady Esprit just proved she's just a gun 1,000-metre horse. She rattled home in good sectionals late, 21.84, 10.98 for the last 400, 200 was flying. But, yeah, I'm keen to follow Proud Wolf going forward onto a wet track, Nadia.
OK, we'll look for him with a bit of give. We go to race 6. This was the 78 over 1,600 metres, and the market was very open here too, where another bullseye ended up starting favourite, the winner.
Yeah, the most notable market push here was for Jake's Hill. A European first starter for the Chris Wallace stable was $21 into $7 on race day, so there was plenty of support to suggest he could go well. Another bullseye was very well supported throughout the day, 6.50 into 4.80, and the punter's friend, Galaxy Raider, $4.40 out to 4.80.
Narrow finish?
It was a narrow finish. I think a good performance both by Galaxy Raider and also another bullseye who have quinella'd the race. A pretty strong race here. They went out just moderate sectionals. Another bullseye got into a lovely spot as he mapped to do, and Daniel Moore, very positive on the horse. He's riding so well. I think just that soft run in transit over Galaxy Raider, who had to make a surge coming around the home bend to make the ground from the home bend to the sort of 200-metre mark, probably told in the end. Good win by another bullseye. I think Galaxy Raider is flying for Graham Begg, continue to be followed. The horse, though, that I'll be following with a keen eye is that Jake's Hill I mentioned. He had absolutely no luck in behind them. He probably should have been in the finish, probably should have run third with even luck. So the money was there to say he was ready to run well first up for the Wallace stable. I suspect second up they'll have trouble beating him, Nadia. That's Jake's Hill.
OK, Jake's Hill, watch for him. Race 7, 1,400 metre open, and the winner, Land of Plenty, ended up starting a dominant favourite.
Yeah, they went very hard. Oh, so Land of Plenty was the only one that punters were interested in, $2.25 into $2.10. They went very hard in this 1,400-metre race. They ran overall time 81.96 versus race 9, the other 1,400-metre race. They were about three lengths slower. Top Me Up worked over from a wide draw and led with rhythm to spare. So both those horses have overdone it through the first 800 metres. Just firstly on Top Me Up, I thought did a good job to hang on and run fourth. Rhythm to spare dropped out the co-leader. Land of Plenty's just flying. Third best last 1,200 and 1,000-metre sectional of the day. And what he was able to do here, as opposed to his first two runs this campaign, is he had to endure a hard tempo and still finish off, and he was able to do that. So he can be followed. I think he's going very well. Amavatio rattled home from the back, but I've been sucked into him a few times now. I think that's just him. Pilo Desai loomed into the race on the home bend. I thought was going to be in the finish. I think maybe condition just told out late. I think we can follow him second up. He's coming off a long break and a tendon injury, so I thought his run was okay. And Sosie Bond was ridden back in the field as opposed to up on speed, which he has been his previous few starts. He had absolutely no luck, completely forget he went around. And I think that change in tactics might have helped the horse because he looked like he was bolting into the race coming around the home bend. So forgive Sosie Bond. If they ride him in a similar fashion, he strikes a fast tempo again, he might be able to improve. But it's all about Land of Plenty again, another winner that I think we can follow with some confidence.
We go to race 8. This was an 1,800 metre open, and the market in this race ended up having Magic Console, the eventual favourite, at around the 350 mark. What were the other significant moves?
Boomtime was probably the best backed runner, the Caulfield Cup winner first up. They bet 650 when markets opened. He jumped 480. Second Bullet was a big drifter, 550 out to 850. And Tarquin, the eventual winner, $11 into 850.
And let's talk a bit about the race. Tarquin, the eventual winner over Boomtime. What did you make of the way that the race was run?
Yeah, look, Freddie Kersley on Boomtime got very unlucky from gate three. Second Bullet and Radical both kicked off gates one and two in exactly the same spot that he was. He got left out three wide, more just by what was happening around him. He had no other options, really, apart from to head forward and sit three deep and get the horse into a nice rhythm, which he did. Ultimately, he's put in a huge performance, Boomtime, to only be beaten right on the line, covering that extra ground on what was a genuine tempo. They didn't loaf here for the 1,800 metres. Again, they're only a second outside the track record, which is pretty good gallop for this class of horse. Big return by Boomtime. I'm not sure if they're going to have another run this campaign or send him for a spell and aim at the spring. But if he does have a second up run, I'd think he'd be very hard to beat. Tarquin did a good job to win, was well back late, got a lovely run in transit, got plenty of cover coming around the home bend and just presented at the right time. Quick Defence paraded very well in the yard. I think is ready to win now. He was hitting the line strongly. So they were the three... first three over the line. The favourite, Magic Console, was held up coming around the home bend. Probably would have been in the finish with even luck, but he's a horse going well. But, yep, keen to follow Boomtime, Nadia.
Okay, so Boomtime, the one to follow out of race number eight. And we go to the ninth, which was a three-year-old open. And the betting ended up getting this race right with Iconoclasm, who started favourite.
Yeah, he was 260 out to 310, but that was mainly by virtue of enormous support both leading up to the day and on the day for Moana Jewel. She was $21 into about $5.50 prior to race day. Once minimum bet laws kicked in at 9 a.m, the big team stepped in. She was $5.50 into $4. So this was one of the better the goes of the day, and frankly, she was quite disappointing. She had a pretty soft run in transit in behind the speed and dropped out. But all honours with this winner, Iconoclasm. He's a cult going places. He's won four of his last five. Probably unlucky not to win the race at Caulfield, three back behind Real Martini and William Thomas, where he had a torrid run in transit. He again sat deep on speed on Saturday, so there were no excuses for those in behind him. This cult had to work hard, put them away, and he's a real star of the future. I think he's going to be forced to be reckoned with in the spring. Really good run from Lord Sundown, a second up in class. Set the tempo. They slowed a bit coming around the home bend, and I don't think that necessarily advantaged Lord Sundowner. He'd won first up at Pakenham up on speed. I think in a similar 1,400 metre race, he can be very hard to beat next start, Nadia. But yeah, again, it's hard to find too many black bookers outside of the winners. Iconoclasm was very impressive in race nine.
We'll come back and wrap it up on the other side of this short break. This is Winners on RSN 927. It's 10:45. And at 10:45, let's talk about the black bookers, the ones to follow from Flemington with the trial files, Matt Welsh. Should we drop down, Matt?
Yeah, back half of the program, Nadia, for the black bookers on Saturday. Race five, Proud Wolf, as I mentioned, if he strikes a soft track second up, I think he'll be hard to beat. Race six, Jake's Hill, heavily back for the Waller Yard European, had no luck, keen to follow. Race 7, Land of Plenty's flying. Race 8, Quick Defence. And then Iconoclasm in the last. They may even send him over to Adelaide or something similar for a stakes race. He's a horse on the up and one we can follow, if not this campaign, into the spring.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the week that was, and you've got a few maiden performances that are worth taking note of.
Yeah, firstly, I'll go back to Warrnambool. Obviously, we had the 3 days out at Warrnambool. I think the best performance from a going-forward perspective was in the 30th of 30 races on Thursday, the last race, 50 stars, a three-year-old colt, a son of See the Stars, trained by none other than Darren Weir. He was just super on debut over 1,200 when running slick time. He was asked to settle in behind them in the last race at Warrnambool on Thursday over 1,400 metres, and he was just dynamic in putting them away. So I think he's a horse we can follow, 50 stars. out of Monday last week, going back to Monday at Sale, El Gagne won the last race there, a benchmark 64. She ran good time, and she was stuck up against the aluminium, the rail there, which wasn't the place to be. So really good performance from El Gagne, and I think she might be heading to Brisbane, so she can be followed. And then the best maiden win of the week, I thought, came at Horsham on Saturday. Paul Puska trained three-year-old gelding, now had three starts, called I Am Someone. He rode what was a very hot tempo there in race one over 1,200 metres. They ran some 3 seconds quicker than the benchmark 58 later in the day, albeit there had been a little bit of rain. But fantastic win by I Am Someone. I think he can continue winning going forward and might be a horse to follow into town in over the winter months, Nadia.
Wonderful. Okay, so there's some to follow there. What about today? You done the form for the meeting at Wangaratta? Is there anything we should be focusing on?
Look, I'll be having a small quinella in race one. I think there's two primary chances. Aladade makes its debut for the Price Yard. It has both trialled and jumped out brilliantly. I think she'll fight out the race with Wanassa, number 13. So quinella there, race one, numbers 2 and 13. And in race two, I'm pretty keen on number 10, Massab, for the Andrew Sorden Yard. This stable have been flying since they relocated their stables. If this bloke runs up to his trial, which was back in February now, so there is some concern about that gap, but this isn't an overly strong race. I think he can roll forward, and if he runs up to that recent trial at Cranbourne, he'll be very hard to beat. Race 2, number 10, Massab.
Good on you, and all the best of luck for those tips today, Matt, and we'll chat next week when we review all the action for next Saturday. Thank you for your time.
Have a good week, Nadia.